Well, last week we had finished the book of Ephesians, and we dealt with the man Tychicus and Paul's closing statements. And usually on Sunday mornings, I do like to do series Sunday nights as well. And wasn't sure exactly where the Lord would lead, but I think he's brought us to a place here. We'll start another book of the Bible. So go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Titus. Titus, the book of Titus. Genesis, Exodus, Titus. Actually, there's a pretty neat way to remember. There's five T's in the New Testament, right? First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, and Titus. If you found a T, go to the end of the T's, boom, there you are. The book of Titus. Now, I'm going to tell you already this morning that one of the most difficult messages for me is the introductory message. Because it's the first one, I'm trying to lay the groundwork for the book. And so we're going to do a little bit, kind of a, you may call it a little Bible study. I'm going to turn to several verses here and learn some things about this book and this man that I think would be a great blessing to you and to me. I never preached through the book of Titus. I preached from the book of Titus. But we'll start this journey and ask the Lord to bless here in a moment. So in Titus chapter 1, let's stand if you found it, and we'll read beginning in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. I'm going to stop there, unusually in the middle of the verse, but there's a reason for that because of the nature of this message. And so let's pray and we'll begin. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. We do thank you for the folks that came out to church this morning. And Lord, we recognize that this will all be in vain if your hand of blessing is not upon it. So I pray you'd bless the message. I pray you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Lord, help me, as there's many things that you've led me to say this morning that I need to say. Help me do it in a way that's understanding to the people. And so give us all ears to hear, and may we learn about this man named Titus and why he is where he is. Use this message and your word for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On July 13th, 2013, Dr. Jed Diamond wrote an article for the Good Men Report that was entitled this, Why Men Commit Suicide. The three warning signs most people miss. Suicide is a major worldwide epidemic, taking the lives of over a million people per year, according to the trusted World Health Organization. Let's move on. But estimates suggest that 10 to 20 times more individuals attempt suicide as well. So we have a whole bunch that do and a whole bunch that attempt. As a matter of fact, self-harm now takes more lives, according to this article, than war, murder, and natural disasters combined. Now, Dr. Diamond stated in this article, I read through a lot of it, he said approximately 30,000 people commit suicide each year in the United States, and 80% of them are men. Overall, males kill themselves at rates that are four times higher than females. But in certain age groups, men are even more vulnerable. He says the suicide rate for those ages 20 to 24 is 5.4 times higher for males than for females of the same age. In older age groups, suicide is even more a male problem. After retirement, the suicide rate skyrockets for men, but not for women. Listen to these statistics. Between the ages of 65 and 74, the rate is 6.3 times higher for males. Between the ages of 75 and 84, the rate is 7 times higher for men than women. And then for those 85 and older, it's nearly 18 times higher for men than for women. That's interesting, isn't it? Why does this happen? Well, you could have a lot of answers to that question. It's probably more complex than I'm going to say here in a moment. But the top two reasons that are stated are these. One is that men come to the point where they have a sense of not belonging and also a sense of not contributing. Now, here's what I mean. In other words, here's what I get out of it. Men feel like there's no reason for living. In other words, they feel like their life has no purpose anymore. And by the way, it goes that way for all those that try to commit and do commit suicide. They'll say this, I have no purpose for living, no cause. Robert Greene, in his book, The Laws of Human Nature, now this was not a Christian book, there's no indication of that, but he said this, and the world even sees this, all of us want to believe that there is some purpose and meaning to our life, that we are connected to something larger than ourselves, and that's true, isn't it? I want to feel that way as well. He goes on to say, we want to feel some weight and significance to what we have done. Without that conviction, we experience an emptiness and depression that will ascribe to other factors. And that's true. I think all of us sitting here this morning would agree that we want our lives to have purpose, don't we? We want our lives to have meaning. We want to make a difference in this world. That is a natural desire. Now let's think about that for a moment. For the unbeliever, someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, finding that purpose can be quite difficult. It can be unclear. It can even be confusing. Because imagine the options that of what to do with your life are endless. Like, what is it? A doctor, lawyer, fireman, carpenter, plumber, business owner? What is it? It's very confusing to the unbeliever. But for the believer, should be different. That was a good spot for an amen right there. It should be. For the believer, finding that purpose is really quite simple. It's easy to understand. Why? Because it is clearly stated for us or to us in the Word of God. You see, it is our God that gives us our purpose. And according to the Word of God, for the believer, here it is. I get it. Understand it. Our purpose in this world is this, to spend our lives serving the Lord Jesus Christ through the local church and advancing the cause of Christ in this world. That's what it is for everyone. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I get it for those that are called in the ministry and those that are going to the mission field. No, everybody. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is for every believer. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. Giving your life to the Lord and serving Him. It's why God left us here. Don't be confused by that. Our purpose in this world, that's what it is. This is our cause. I like what David said when he was there in that valley of Elah, when he said that phrase that we all know. Is there not a cause? He was talking about the cause of God in this world. And obviously there is. There is a cause. You have purpose if you're saved here today. It's God's purpose. I remember when I was growing up, people used to ask that question all the time. You remember that. Of course, I wasn't in a Christian home, so the question was the same. What do you want to be when you grow up, right? You heard that a zillion times. What do you want to be when you grow up? Or what do you want to do when you grow up? And to be quite honest, all the way into my late teen years, I had no idea. I had people saying, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm thinking, I don't know what I want to do. What do you want to do? I said, I don't know. I can't think of anything I want to spend the rest of my life doing. That's just the way I was. But you know what? After I got saved, that all changed. My purpose changed. My cause became crystal clear. And that is this, to serve the Lord. That's what it is. And that is your cause if you're saved here today, this morning as well. So the question is not what is our cause. That is clear, biblically clear. The question is this: will we embrace it? Will we accept it? Will we make his cause our cause? Now, you say, what does it have to do with what we just read? Look at verse 5 here. For this cause left I thee in Crete. This morning I want to preach on that subject and how it relates to this man Titus. And I want to preach a message entitled, two titles this morning, For This Cause. Or perhaps we could say this, Titus, a man with a divine purpose. Do you have one? Do you have one? You know, one of the greatest mistakes that many believers make is this. They make something other than Christ their cause in this world. They make something other than the Lord and his work their purpose in this world. Often it becomes their job or their career or their family. You name it, they do that. That's not why you're here if you're saved. That's not why the Lord has left you here. You see, your job has been provided by God as a means of supporting your family and supporting the work of God. But it is not your life. And it must never become your life. It must never become what you are living for. Because as a believer, Christ is our life. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Watch this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I like the way the Apostle Paul put it in Philippians 1:21. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That should be the motto of every believer. Regardless of what you do for a living, he should be our life. By the way, if we don't get this right, if you don't get this right, it will be a disappointing day at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, my mind goes back to the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in Luke chapter 12, that rich fool, if you remember, that invested all of his things in this world, and Christ came to him and said to him, thou fool! In other words, you missed it. Your life's not about things. It's not about your job. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what life's about. Don't miss it. Again, you'll have a sad day, and I will too, at the judgment seat of Christ if we miss this truth. Well, there's a man here we're looking at that didn't miss this truth. His name is Titus. And what I'd like to do, I want to lay some foundational things here as we begin this series, if you will, through this book of Titus, about this man who understood his purpose in this world. We'll see that here in a minute. Let's talk about Titus. Let's consider, number one, the man. The man, Titus. Notice it's an introduction here. We don't write letters the same that they did in the olden days. We usually write the letter and sign the name at the end. That's kind of dumb if you think about it because, well, we have envelopes, I know. But I'm just saying, you got to go to the end and then say, oh, this is from so-and-so. But they signed it right at the beginning. Notice Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'll get into the details of what he's saying here probably next week, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Go down to verse 4, to Titus. mine own son after the common faith. So the book of Titus is a letter. It is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a man by the name of Titus. It is one of what we refer to as the pastoral epistles, the other two being 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Those are letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to men that were acting as pastors, that had the oversight of the church. Now, this letter is from Paul to Titus, but understand when it was written. We'll get more about this later. This letter was penned to Titus after Paul's house arrest in Rome in 63 AD and before his final imprisonment in Rome in 66 AD. So when the book of Acts ends, Paul is under house arrest. We're going to find out here in a moment that he gets released, and he does some things. We'll see those in a moment, but he gets arrested later again, and he's beheaded, never leaves the Mamertine prison in Rome. His last letter is 2 Timothy, and then he dies. So again, this letter was written from the time of his house arrest and the next arrest, that time he had in between. And Paul is writing this letter to Titus, who is in a place called Crete. We know where that is. Crete is a Greek island in the Mediterranean Sea, west of Cyprus, where Barnabas was from. Keep going that way. And directly south of Athens. But I want to ask ourselves this morning to lay some foundational things. Who is this man Titus? What do we know about him? And what in the world is he doing in Crete? That's important to know. Well, let's consider, as we think of the man Titus, his past. Titus's name, as I began studying for this message, I saw it appears a lot more than I thought before. His name is mentioned in 4 different books of the Bible and 13 verses in the New Testament. His name is found in Galatians. His name is found a lot in 2 Corinthians. His name is found in 2 Timothy. And of course, his name is found here in Titus. What is very interesting to note is that Titus was a vital part, we'll see this here in a little bit, of Paul's ministry. We'll find him with him in a lot of places, but you do not find him mentioned in the book of Acts. You say, preacher, why? Here's my answer. I don't know. I have no idea. What are you asking me that for? It's just not there. I don't know why. But we know from Galatians chapter 2 that Titus was a Gentile. He was a Greek. But what do we know about his past? Well, I think we see from the scriptures a couple of things about his past. We see his salvation. Look at Titus chapter 1 that we just read in verse 4. We read, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Now, we don't know when. You can't find that in the Word of God in the New Testament when he got saved. But we do know this, that Titus did get saved. He's a saved man. He trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And it would appear from this way the wording is here in Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, where Paul says, mine own son after the common faith, that typically is an indication that it was the Apostle Paul that led Titus to the Lord. Now, we don't know exactly when, we don't know exactly how, but he was a saved man, he knew the Lord, and he was led to Christ by the Apostle Paul. By the way, our divine cause in this world, our purpose in this world, begins with salvation. Amen. That's where it starts. It starts with salvation. You see, if you're here today and you are not saved, let me encourage you to get saved. Jesus Christ loves you. He came to this earth. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. If you will simply repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, hey, your sins are forgiven, and you have a home in heaven. And guess what? You're going to have a new purpose in this world, a new life, if you will. You see, if you're not saved, then doing His will won't make sense. You wonder, why would anybody do that? Well, if you're saved, you understand that. So we see that Titus was saved. But then we also see his service. We're talking about his past. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. Now, here in Galatians chapter 2, we're trying to learn some things about Titus. And so we find that he's saved according to Titus chapter 1. But here in Galatians chapter 2, watch this, chronologically speaking, this is the first mention of Titus in the New Testament. Notice verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, here it is, and took Titus with me also. Now, what's that talking about? Do you remember after Paul's first missionary journey, of course, Paul and Barnabas were called out of the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. We find them going to the island of Cyprus and the Antioch, Lystra, and Derbe. And then they return back to the home church at Antioch. That was their first missionary trip. Before they went out on their second missionary trip, there was something that had happened while they were spending time at their home church there in Antioch. What had happened was Judaizers came, or Jewish men were saying, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And they were propagating that throughout the land. They heard of this, and so they wanted to go down. Paul and Barnabas and Titus wanted to go down to Jerusalem to talk to the people at the church of Jerusalem and find out, what is this about? And they knew it was wrong, and they had that, what some call the Jerusalem Council, where they disputed about this matter of circumcision. That's in Acts chapter 15. And it was at that time that Paul left the church at Antioch with Barnabas, and Titus was with him. Titus was involved, by the way, this is about the year 46 AD, if you're into that. Titus was involved early on in Paul's ministry. So we see him there in an active place of service after his first missionary journey. Then we see him again, go over to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. We see him again here in mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. We'll go back to this verse in a minute. And so Paul is a little bit later after that thing in church at Jerusalem when he brought Titus there with him. A little bit later when Paul is on his third missionary journey and he's ministering there in Ephesus for 3 years, he was concerned about the state of the church at Corinth. Wonder why. And so he wanted to write letters to the church at Corinth from Ephesus. And we learned from 1 Corinthians 12 and other places that he actually sent Titus to Corinth to deliver the letters to him, to them. Look at verse 18. I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? And so we know that Titus was appointed of Paul to deliver this letter when he was at Ephesus to Corinth and to bring a report back to Paul to tell him how the church was doing, and he did so. My point is this, Titus is serving. There's a third place we find. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, since you're there. When the apostle Paul was also at the same time taking up a collection among the churches to send back to the church at Jerusalem for a love offering because they were experiencing a time of famine, we read that he sends Titus to the churches to go and get the offering and then get the offering at Corinth and bring it to Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians 8:6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So we see Titus at the Council of Jerusalem. We see Titus delivering the letter to the church at Corinth. We see him making the collection from the churches to bring to Jerusalem. And then another place we see him, and we'll talk more about this later, is here in Crete in Titus chapter 1. Paul needed to leave someone there in Crete to take care of things. And we'll get to more of this later, he leaves Titus there to take care of those people and the churches that were started there. And then one last place, if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, go ahead over there if you would. Fast forward a little bit, Paul is now in the Mamertine prison, ready to die, and it would appear that Titus, of course, wasn't with him. He was he needed someone to go to Dalmatia, which is a Roman province, and so he sent Titus there as well. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, that's bad, having loved this present world. But notice he says, departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. That was something he did purposefully. He sent him there to minister. Here's my point. Say, preacher, why are you saying all that stuff? Here's my point. Titus was a man who understood his cause in this world. He was a man that was heavily involved in the work of God. He knew that his purpose in this world was to serve the Lord. And that's exactly what he was doing. So we see the man and his past. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's talk about the man and his personality. What was this guy like? Well, what do you think he was like? He was a good guy, amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. How much is said about this man, Titus? I could read a lot, but I won't for time's sake. But notice, but thanks be to God, verse 16 of chapter 8, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. He's explaining why he's sending Titus, because accountability, if you will. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, here it is, he is my partner, and fellow helper concerning you, and our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So as we look at Titus and these other verses, we get a little bit of an idea of this man's character, his personality. Paul called him a partner. Paul called him a fellow helper in verse 23. You see, Titus traveled. As you follow the life of Titus, you'll find that he traveled to many places with the Apostle Paul. There were times where Paul had to move on and he needed to leave someone there. At times it would be Timothy. At times it would be Titus. Titus was an intricate part of both the planting of churches and the sustaining of churches. If you were to ask me, in my opinion, who were Paul's right-hand men, and by that I mean those he was training up and were using in many ways, I would say it was Titus and Timothy. Now, Titus was a little older than Timothy. Titus came on the scene before Timothy, but Titus was working hand in hand with the Apostle Paul. He was a man of deep conviction. Galatians 2:3 says this, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. What he's saying here is when they went to Jerusalem for that dispute about circumcision, the Jews were trying to say, this man's a Greek. If he's saved, he needs to be circumcised. Titus said, I'm not being circumcised. I'm not doing that. I'm not following the Old Testament law. I don't need to do that to be saved. I'm saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. My point is this, he was a man of deep conviction. He was a man of deep care. We read in 2 Corinthians 8:16, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. He cared for the work of God. He cared for the people of God. He was a trusted man. When they went to get the collection from all the churches, he was the one, along with others, that was entrusted with that money. He was a dependable man. He was a man that did not quit. We find him all through the life of the Apostle Paul, right to the very end. He was a servant of God. That's the kind of man this guy Titus was. Now, I say all that to say this. If you are going to make God's purpose your purpose. If you are going to agree that, yes, I am here to serve the Lord, I am here to live for Him, to serve Him through the local New Testament church, understand something. You're going to have to be a person of strong Christian character. You see, serving the Lord is not for the weak. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for quitters. It's not for someone who doesn't take it seriously. It's not for someone who doesn't make it a priority. You see, it takes men like Titus to make a difference for the cause of Christ in this world, because he understands, yes, the reason that I'm here is to bring glory and honor to my God and to serve Him through the local New Testament church. What a man this man was, the man Titus. Number two, would you notice the ministry of Titus? Let's go back to Titus chapter 1. So what is he doing here in Crete? Here we find him first with Paul at the council at Jerusalem. We find him being sent of Paul to different places. But here we find him penning this letter to him in Crete. The ministry of Titus was Crete. Two things about this ministry. Notice the place. How did Titus get to Crete? Well, think about this. When Paul was released from his house arrest in Acts chapter 28, he actually went on, as you piece together in the epistles, he actually had a fourth missionary journey. He continued on. What he did, as you piece the pieces together from the epistles, he had gone back and revisited many of the churches in Galatia, the churches in Macedonia. He went to Troas, he went down to Achaia, which would be Corinth, and so forth, preaching the gospel, planting, and he also went and planted churches in new places. And Titus was with him when he did that. Do you know that this journey, the Apostle Paul, we know from the scriptures, took him all the way westward to Spain? So he went out to Spain, and then on his way back from Spain eastward, he stopped and preached the gospel and planted churches on the island of Crete. And when he goes on to move forward in his ministry, what does he do? He leaves Titus there in Crete as the acting pastor to continue the work of grounding the new believers, teaching them, organizing the churches, and placing permanent pastors in them. And now Paul, at a later time, is writing back to Titus about the work that he's doing. That's where he is. You see, God had a place for Titus. And by the way, he has a place for you. So what was the problems that he's facing? So notice we read in verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So here is this man that is in the island of Crete that Paul had left there, and he had a huge task set before him. Paul and Titus and others were there preaching the gospel. They were going around from city to city. They were reaching new believers, and they had pockets of believers in cities throughout the island of Crete. And these new converts that were there knew very little about the Bible. They were, in fact, being influenced by false teachers, as we'll see in a little bit. They had confused. They didn't understand the role of men and the role of women, the role of the home, their relationship to government. And Titus had to deal with all of this. He had to preach to them and teach them and ground them in the Word of God. He also had to find men that were strong enough to pastor these churches. I mean, what a difficult task this man had in the island of Crete. But that is what God had called him to do. My point is this. Sometimes we have the idea that if I'm going to get involved in God's cause and His purpose, that it's going to be easy. But it's not. You see, serving God, following His divine purpose, following His cause, is going to be very, very difficult. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take patience and fortitude and character and faith and God's enablement. But that's exactly why God left Titus there to do His work. And by the way, that's why we're here. We're here to do His work. You see, the ministry is work. That's what it is. It absolutely is. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. My point is this, most Christians take serving God very casually today. Well, they really do. They don't want any demands put on them. They don't want any requirements. They don't want any standards. They don't want any expectations. And by the way, that may be 21st century Christianity in America, but that is not New Testament Christianity. It is not. It is work. It is work. The cause of Christ, the purpose in this world, is going to take effort and work. And Titus knew that. And I ask you this morning, are we willing to put forth the work? Because that was the ministry that Titus had, and it's the ministry we have as well. Then we see thirdly, and we're done here. Notice number one, the man, Titus. Number two, the ministry of Titus. Then we'll see the message of Titus. Go to chapter 3 and verse 8. If we were to sum up the message of this book, in other words, what does Titus left him there in Crete to do a lot of things? We'll see what they are. And to teach them a lot of things. But if we were to sum up the message of this book, we could sum it up in chapter 3 and verse 8. Notice, reread, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You see, the key to you and I making a difference in this world is for all of us to live a life of obedience to God, to serve Him. This was the purpose of Titus and the purpose of us in this world. I want you to think for a moment, and I'm going to close right here. I want you to think how much could be done in this world if we all had the right cause. If we all understood that, yes, I'm here, I'm saved, and my purpose in this world is not to be here to make a name for myself or to build some sort of empire for myself, but I am here left on this earth to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him with my life. Oh, yes, I have to make a living. Oh, yes, job and family, all that is important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to, we'll close here to Matthew chapter 6. This is the exact message that Christ was trying to give to His disciples in a very familiar verse here, Matthew 6. Look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things to the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Notice verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Again, notice verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Folks, we're not here for ourselves. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for Him. We're not here to find a great purpose in this world. We're here to understand what God is doing in this world and find our place in His purpose. Titus was a man, not a big name in the Scriptures, but is a man that had a cause for this cause, and it was about him. The question is, are you embracing the cause that God has given you? Embrace it today. There's no greater joy than to serve Him. There's no greater purpose in life. And the most miserable person you'll find on the face of the earth is a Christian that knows he should be doing something for God, and he's not. He's just miserable as anything you can imagine. Embrace the purpose, the cause of God, and you'll find the abundant life that He promised. Amen?